So everyone, thanks for listening here. Episode 109 of Long Box Heroes After Dark. Merry Christmas, everyone.
Happy holidays. You want to get us sued?
By who?
The holiday police?
A mutual friend of ours has been going Facebook crazy with all this sort of stuff about Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, all that sort of jazz.
Mm-hmm.
And he brings up a good point. He's like, I'm not upset because you said whatever it was to me. I'm just happy that you took the time to, like, be nice to me.
Ah, see, that's what it's all about.
Yeah. You know what I mean? It's like super secret science job. I get a lot of people saying, you know, Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, what have you. And I'm in a position where I can't get into philosophical discussions about it. Mm-hmm. Not that I have a preference either way. I don't care. I say Christmas because that's what I've always said.
You know what? Someone once said, all you have to do is say Happy Holidays or say back whatever the person says to you, and you're good to go.
I usually say, same to you,
mm-hmm.
right back at you,
mm-hmm.
or catch you on the flip-flop.
Gotcha. I always say, same to you, buddy, while shaking my fist. That's usually what I do.
Say, stick it in your whatever thing your thing you believe in sticks stuff in that. Like if it's a stocking, it's a stocking. If it's something else, it's something else.
That's right. Dreidel or a significant other or whatever. I don't know.
Right. I don't know what other people stuff things in because I'm ignorant.
A turkey.
Right. That's Thanksgiving. Also offensive.
Well.
Offensive to Native Americans.
Mm-hmm.
And vegans.
Ooh. That's right, because turkeys have a shadow.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
So do yams.
Oh. Are you a yam fan?
No.
Neither am I.
Get these shitty orange potatoes away from me.
Space potatoes.
Listen, if I wanted to eat something orange, I'll eat a carrot. Don't give me this orange potato and tell me it's good.
That's right.
What, you're going to dump a bunch of brown sugar on it? Still not eating it. Get out.
That's right. Diabetes potatoes.
Oh, my God. So, Merry Christmas, everybody. We have Christmas stuff to discuss here, including the opening of the gifts.
Oh, that's right. Your gift was heavy.
Yes.
I had to take it up a flight of steps, and now I'm tired.
You didn't drop it, did you?
No.
All right.
No, I didn't drop it.
Son of a bitch. All right. Well, we'll save the presents for the end. Mm-hmm. Hopefully you listened to the main show, and we told you that we're going to open them here. It's going to be so funny, too, because we'll have already opened the gifts when we record the other show, and mm-hmm. we'll have to pretend we don't know what they are.
Oh, I could do that.
Right.
I pretend I don't know a lot is going on around me.
So, let's get into what we have to discuss. We both were assigned things to watch of a Christmas nature.
Mm-hmm.
I was forced to watch at knife point.
Oh, God.
The Doctor Who A Christmas Carol from 2010, is this from?
I'm not quite sure what year it is. It all blurs together when you're in a time machine, Joe.
Okay.
But yeah, it's somewhere around there. Maybe.
So right off the bat,
mm-hmm.
I don't want to say that I'm confused because I am a dum-dum and I am very easily confused.
Right.
But it starts off on some sort of time ship. There's a voiceover and Rip Hunter comes in.
Oh, right. God. Off
the bat, I think I've downloaded the wrong thing.
No, he was a time traveler before he was Rip Hunter.
Listen, he was only invented that one time for that one show, and that was it.
Got you.
As far as I know, nothing else.
Mm-hmm.
So, this was the part of the show, I don't want to say that I was a little lost, because I was able to catch up. I guess there was something going on that these two were on their honeymoon?
Yes, the Doctor sent them on a honeymoon on a Star-class ship, and it kind of it started to crash. Through no fault of anyone.
Right. So it begins to crash over this world.
Planet, yes.
This planet where there's something going on with the fish.
Right.
Now, is this like a one-off, is just part of this thing? Or one-off. Is this continuity for this particular planet that there's always something up with the fish?
No, it's a one-off.
Okay. So, the Doctor finds this Ebenezer Scrooge analog,
mm-hmm.
who has a machine that only he can work, that controls the clouds. And as we are told many times during the course of the episode, if you control the sky, you also control everything underneath it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm saying all these things to let Todd know that I actually watched this.
You did. I'm surprised that you sat down and found a whole hour.
I did. Oh, you don't know how hot I was when I found out that it was an hour, 1 minute, and like 20 seconds.
Oh, boy.
It was steaming. So, it's titled A Christmas Carol. So, and this guy's obviously some sort of Ebenezer Scrooge analog, of course. So, I'm like, all right, we're going to do the Ghost of Christmas Past, the Ghost of Christmas Present. You know, we're going to hit all those typical pastiches, right?
Mm-hmm.
But they don't. They do things just a little bit differently. And I right. have to take my hat off to the good people who invented Doctor Who. I don't know who that was.
Right.
And I said that they're good people. I'm lying. They're not. They're terrible people.
Right.
So what happened was, they pull up this, what would you call it?
A motion picture thing? Is right, that what right. you're talking about?
A video thing of the Ebenezer Scrooge character as a child.
Mm-hmm.
And the Doctor goes back in time to that point when the video was from and inserts himself into the Ebenezer Scrooge person's life. And by doing so, starts creating a bunch of new memories for him.
Mm-hmm. Wibbly wobbly timey wimey.
Right. Now, under normal circumstances, I'd be like, oh, there's a bunch of crap. But in the context of things, I'm like, oh, this is very creative. I enjoyed how they did this. And then, of course, while he's there, there's also this other subplot that he inherited a business from his family, from his father, who was a rotten man with a bad dye job who looked just like him.
Right.
Where he would loan you money, but as collateral, he gets a member of your family to put in some sort of cryostasis thing.
Right.
A lot of this episode was like, all right, the less I think about whatever this is, the better. Let me just kind of take in whatever all this is and, you know, go from there, right?
Mm-hmm.
The less I think about it, the better.
And that's the way you have to watch Doctor Who sometimes.
But right, and this is coming from you who watches this show all the time, like it's real.
It's a documentary. It's a time documentary.
So he befriends the boy. He's like, hey, we're going to get one of these fish that are evil. The little fish turns into a giant shark.
Not so much turns into as a shark shows up.
Okay, because that was maybe a little bit unclear.
Well, if you watch it again, nope. It's done very... I know you're not going to.
Nope.
If you watch it again, as he's back with the kid... you'll see the shark in the background very briefly.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? Like the silhouette of it or something very fast. And it kind of keeps popping up until it eats the little fish that they attract with the sonic screwdriver.
Okay.
Right. So, go ahead.
The shark eats part of the sonic screwdriver. It's trying to fix itself, so it's pinging itself. And then he just kind of gives it to the guy. And then the old man goes and he still has it in the drawer, right?
Mm-hmm.
So time is changing, and did I miss? Oh, okay. So what he then decides to do is goes and opens up one of the cryostasis things, which happens to be the cryostasis thing that was there in present day when the Doctor showed up.
Mm-hmm.
And what they do is every day on Christmas Eve, which is just the Doctor doing it over and over and over again, like, you know, because, as Todd mentioned, wibbly wobbly timey wimey. Giving the young Ebenezer Scrooge character, you know, a fun experience on every Christmas Eve with this person who was in the cryo chamber. And, of course, this was all to soften his heart in the hopes that he would become a good person in the present and allow the Doctor to use his cloud-changing machine to therefore save his friends that are on... the time ship from Legends of Tomorrow.
Mm-hmm, sure.
Okay, so I it was fun, it was cute, they go on all these little adventures, even though in the present he is still being resistant to the change, his heart does soften, he does become a better person, but it softens so much the machine no longer recognizes him.
Which I thought was a cool bit.
Okay, I thought that was an interesting bit as well, and I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, well, why don't they just have the young man who's there do it? Since he is, you know, technically the same biogenetic whatever, and should be able to use it, but they, I forget, remind me how they end up doing it.
They end up singing, he uses the shark is in the clouds with a half a sonic screwdriver.
Yes.
And they explain, this isn't just stuff that I'm bringing up. It's no. Like the singing isn't, it's not the singing that affects him, even though the kid wants to believe it is. It's that the frequency does something. And he's like, well, if I boost it, I can do what we're doing because I already have half of my sonic screwdriver in it. And if she sings, they show that it makes the fish do certain things. It'll affect the cloud and it ends up letting the ship land, which it works in the narrative of the show. I'm not explaining it well, you know.
You know how I feel about women singing on TV shows,
right?
So, I thought, okay. The other thing is, the other cute bit was they do a bunch. Like, obviously, they don't show every single adventure that they go on during the mm-hmm. every Christmas Eve. I did like the cute little touch that a couple times in a row where they just pop up and they just, like, say Merry Christmas. They're mm-hmm. wearing, like, different things that different doctors had wore.
Yes, there was the scarf and the fez.
Right. I thought that was a cute little touch. I'm sure if you were a Doctor Who fan, you probably went, oh my goodness, he's wearing a scarf!
Yep, you have to. It's the law.
Christ. But I will say this, not terrible. You know, my bias against Doctor Who notwithstanding, it was fun. It was a different take on what most people do and have done with a Christmas Carol tale.
Mm-hmm. I'm just going to throw out a few things that I wrote down while I watched it today. I actually took notes for this over the main show and everything else we do. There was a couple of things that I did like that I was like, that were great about it. Like a couple of throwaway lines that are important to me is when he's talking to the Ebenezer character and he's like, well, who's in the cryogenic chamber? And he's like, it's nobody.
Mm-hmm.
And the doctor turns around and he goes, that's interesting. In 900 years,
yes.
I've never met someone who was unimportant.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, that sums up the doctor. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's an important phrase for him. He's like, I care about everybody. And the thing that I like, another thing I like about it is the Ebenezer character, Michael Gambon, who plays him. Man, he sells evil. Do you know what I mean?
What else has he been in? I didn't get a chance to go.
I'm not 100% sure, like, but he's been in others. Like, he's a big English actor.
James Gandolfini, you said his name was?
Yeah, no, Michael Gambon. He was the one that they named a turn in one of the tracks of Top Gear. Did you ever watch Top Gear?
Nope.
Because he almost flipped a car when they were doing a star in a reasonably priced car bit.
He's a wizard, Harry.
Oh, is he?
What's his face? Died. Playing Dumbledore?
Mm-hmm.
He took over Dumbledore in the Harry Potter movies.
Mm-hmm. The other throwaway thing that I loved was when he gives the medium Ebenezer Scrooge character his advice on kissing, his first kiss. He's like, go in, be all nervous, breathe heavy, and be all shaky. And he's like, why? He says, you're going to do it anyway, you'll feel better if you make it part of the plan. I wish someone had given me this advice when I had my first kiss.
Right.
But, I really enjoyed that, and he mentions how don't be like him. Instead of meeting girls, you stay at home and invent new types of screwdrivers, hence the sonic screwdriver.
Ugh.
And my favorite thing, though, was the bit at the end when we were wondering how he's going to do the Ghost of Christmas Future,
mm-hmm.
and Gambon's just like, bring it. Everybody dies cold and alone. Nobody's different than me and this and that. And he goes on this evil tirade and he goes, I'm not showing the future to you. And the little kid comes out.
Yes.
And he sees his, he sees that he's becoming his father and he comes running at him to hit him. And they do that flashback of the father striking him and him almost hitting the kid. I'm like, that's a brilliant bit. And the reason I love this Christmas one is because they do a lot of visual interesting things, like where he's walking through the door in the past and he shows up in the movie and he's talking to the kid, but he's really talking to the Ebenezer yes. in the future. Like all the time tricks that they did. This is one of the best episodes that they ever do with that. And in the end, the show ends with the woman going to die when the sun comes up, but you're filled with glee and hope and like,
because they're Christmas. Riding a shark and a sleigh through the sky.
At Christmas, it all works, Joe. It's fine. It is fine because it's Christmas.
Right.
I don't know. This is one of my this is my favorite Christmas episodes and one of my favorite episodes of Doctor Who.
Again, I don't have the same affinity for Doctor Who that you do, but I was not, like, horrified by this. I didn't hate it. I like the different touches that they did, as you mentioned. And again, some of the lines, some of the quirkiness of the show, and, like, they didn't resonate the same way with me, because, to me, all of these people are just, you know... Like, I have no attachment to the Doctor, so when he says that thing, it's like, I've never met anyone in my 900 years who wasn't something. And I'm like... Okay, you're just saying words. I don't know.
Oh, my God.
I guess.
You have, if you were a Gallifreyan, you would have two hearts of stone. Two hearts of stone.
Right.
Gallifreyans have two hearts, by the way.
I know. I have two hands of stone. You keep talking this way. You're going to find out.
I will. Listen, do you want to wrestle? I'll take you down anytime you want.
Right. So Todd had to watch something. Also a Christmas Carol themed.
Oh boy.
Literally just seconds before we started recording. It was it was originally aired in 1985. I pulled up the 1986 re-airing of it. I didn't want to pull up the version that was on the network that was WWE approved just in case they like cleaned something up or changed something or you know what I mean?
What?
It was a Christmas Carol starring as Ebenezer Scrooge, Rowdy Roddy Piper.
Oh my goodness. Fantastic. First of all, you know how you said certain blatant things about Doctor Who? The first thing I find unbelievable is that Piper has a bed that he sleeps in. Because he's cocaine-fueled 24 hours a day. That's it. Why would he sleep? I'm watching this immediately and going, he's going to come out of this and just... I think he's going to go from first to 19th gear, and boy, Haiti, how did he prove me right? When Tambor comes in as Jacob Marley.
Allegedly Jeffrey Tambor. I don't know if that's on his IMDb page.
Looked like Jeffrey Tambor to me. comes in as Marley, and right off the bat, they do the smoke machine, and he's like, Piper, that's my ghost voice anyway.
There you go.
Piper, and he's like, oh, Marley, you died from smoking. I'm just like, oh my God. I'm like, is he just going to rattle off probably totally scripted lines, by the way? Because he seems like a guy who would stick to the script. And he just, I don't even know what he's saying. Like when the Ghost of Christmas Future comes, he lifts up his robe and goes, you don't shave under your arms, do you? And I'm like.
Yeah, I think there might have been a little ad-libbing going on here.
I don't know. I think Hulk Hogan and Vince McMahon were in a hotel room for a weekend.
Oh no!
Writing the script for A Christmas Carol.
Maybe. So,
but it was fantastic.
Me not having watched it in quite some time, you know, like I knew this was coming, so I had to, you know, get prepared, and I did watch it along with you while you were watching it.
Mm-hmm.
I forget how quickly Roddy just becomes like covered and drenched in his own sweat. Like literally within seconds, he is just a flustered, sweating mess.
It's because the hot lights are on.
Uh-huh. And that's
the studio.
I want to know where that was filmed.
I think that was filmed on a Sesame Street like set, because it looked like it would be like Bob or Susan's bedroom on Sesame Street.
Right. Now, there's the line in there in the Ghost of Christmas Present one, where the Marleys can't wrap their presents because Roddy Piper, as Ebenezer Scrooge, stole all the Scotch tape, apparently in the world, because he's Scottish, you know, Scottish Scotch, that's why he stole the Scotch tape.
Mm-hmm.
I remember seeing this originally as a wee lad, and realizing, I'm like, oh, that's a terrible pun. That's a that's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. Oh. And I love the flashback. And I like that at that point, because they had the flashbacks above his head of him stealing lunch money.
Right.
And they're like, look at the presents. And he's like, they're not even wrapped. I'm like, they're not there, Piper. They're not there. Somebody should have put, but I guess they were going for, they had nothing.
Right.
But he was still looking up, and I'm like, does he think he sees something? He might actually see something.
Was he ahead in the script?
I think he was running a bit fast, to tell you the truth.
Completely unrelated, I watched a recent Hulk Hogan promo where he's equally as sweaty and jittery, and for no reason whatsoever, he's just wearing a handcuff on his arm.
Oh, boy.
And it's not explained by anyone.
Okay. I want to know if WWE, back then WWF, ever merchandised the coffee that everybody was drinking.
Oh, they should have.
Because it seemed like that is a wake-up call.
There was a run in the late 80s, early 90s, where they would do... like little promos in their WWF magazine of different characters in the World Wrestling Entertainment telling you to say no to drugs. One was the Red Rooster. One was Jake the Snake Roberts, who had been fined and suspended multiple times for drug offenses.
Mm-hmm.
And possibly the most coked out picture in the world of Brutus Beefcake. Like, his eyes are more white than any other color in the world. And those were the three pictures they decided to choose for their ad campaign. A person visibly coked out, a person who has been fired multiple times for drug abuse, and a man who's pretending to be a rooster.
And Rick James.
And right.
Literally, Beefcake's eyes are probably like burning holes in the paper as you're reading the magazine.
I used to have that on either the Jake one or the Brutus one on my refrigerator.
Oh. Yeah, please tell me you took it down so you could put up Christmas cards.
No. Oh. Hang on. We've been having some Skype issues.
No, are you going to show me a picture of coked up werewolf or what?
I'm going to try. Coked up werewolf. Yeah,
do you remember Coked Up Werewolf?
No.
He was a character on Conan O'Brien. I think he started out as a little known mascot. And it was like they'd come out and it'd be like, you know, the something pineapple. And it would be funny because Conan took two words that didn't match. And they were. And then I think at one point they were like, let's just say the Minnesota Fighting Coked Up Werewolf.
Oh, man.
And it was this werewolf in like a disco suit, and he would come out and he'd be like rubbing his nose with a little bit of white on it, and he'd be like snapping finger guns and like pointing and laughing, and then he'd sit down and he'd nod off for like 8 seconds, and then he'd get up and start doing like all the coke moves like he was all jacked up, and then he'd nod off again.
I sent you the link through Twitter. Let's see if that works.
Okay, I have a Twitter.
Right.
Oh, I'm looking. Let's see. Google search. I'm pressing the button now.
All right.
Brutus Beef. Wow.
There you go.
Oh, boy.
Not a doctored photo.
Doctor who?
Exactly.
That, my friends. They gave him scissors in that state?
Hedge clippers.
No, those are big scissors. What did he barber?
He would defeat a wrestler with his patented sleeper hold.
Mm-hmm.
And then after the match, he would cut their hair.
No.
And then the sleeper hold at the time was such a dreaded maneuver that before you left the ring, the referee would require you to wake the opponent back up.
Which oh.
would consist of them rubbing the trapezius muscle mm-hmm. three times and then giving you one giant slap on the back of your head.
And they don't do that anymore?
No, nobody does. They don't do the sleeper hold. The sleeper hold is a dead move. Nobody uses it anymore. So the person would wake up and then realize, because they would either have the hair clippings on them, or they would feel their hair and see some of it was missing, or sometimes Brutus Beefcake would have a mirror and show you how ridiculous you now looked.
Mm-hmm.
And then every now and then, when like he would mostly do that to jobbers. The jobbers would get like an extra $100 to get their hair cut, whatever. Every once in a while, though, when he would have the blow-off for, like, a big match, your outlaw Ron Basses, your Jimmy Mouth of the Heart Souths, your genius Lanny Poffos would get their hair cut.
Mm.
And what it would be is, they would, like, it would cut, like, the top of your hair, like, toward the front, like, where your bangs would be, but, like, the top of your hair. And then for, like, the next set of TV tapings, you would have to wear a stupid hat to cover it up.
Mm-hmm.
And then that adds new heat onto it, that like now you got your haircut, everyone wants to see your dumb haircut, you're wearing a hat, so now the baby, now you're going to get heat by not letting the people pull the hat off, you build that up, and by the end, they pull the hat off you and they see your dumb haircut and it gets a pop again, like it's a new haircut.
Wow, okay.
So this is what That's you're a missing lot of... by not watching wrestling.
Oh my goodness. And I saw a sleeper hold as of maybe 2 years ago in Easton. Or okay. Ready. I saw
Jervis. That was a different sleeper hold.
I saw Jervis Cottonmouth do one.
Jervis Cottonbelly, sure.
Right, do a sleeper hold.
Right, but it wasn't.
He was holding a guy and he went to sleep. That's a sleeper hold.
Right. Bit of a modified sleeper hold.
Modified. It was a delicate sleeper. It was probably the best. It was the three-fingered Liberace sleeper hold.
There you go. All right, so is that all we got to talk about with these Christmas things that we watched?
Other than, since we did, this is going to be a thing throughout the 2017.
Okay, I was under the impression, since you had given up on wrestling, that we weren't going to be doing this.
I could still watch a crappy pay-per-view.
All right.
Do you want to give it up? Do you want to give it up?
Nope. Nope.
Are you sure? This is your chance to slap yield right now, like if I had you in a hold.
To slap yield.
Yeah, that's what you do. If I put you in the figure 6.5.
Right.
You slap yield when the pain gets too intense.
No, we could still do it. Do you have your list of things?
No, all I need, because we're doing one a month.
Right.
All I have to do is the first one. And we're good to go. And we don't have to mention it right now because what you're going to make me watch, we'll do it the week before we're going to do it, you know, in the month of January. The way I'm going to do it is it's going to be once a month for 12 months. Each month you're going to get one doctor. The first month of January, you get the first doctor. Second month, you get second doctor. I think you can figure out, even you can figure out the pattern from here.
No war doctor episode?
No, I'm going to... You'll get something, but that's down the line. You'll get something. And then you could do whatever order of pay. It doesn't matter because wrestling could be told out of order because it's the same damn thing every time you see a pay-per-view.
No, it's not. We'll get into it, but yeah, so what we'll do is, it'll be like whatever the last episode of the month is the one where we'll have that happen.
Right.
Right.
Well, I'm just checking because, right, yeah, we could do that. And then, because the December one, we'll have it near Christmas, too, again, and who knows. But anyway, I'm just thinking logistics.
And again, I am going to, I don't have the list in front of me, but we are going to, like, when I give you these events to watch,
mm-hmm.
It may come with notes of saying like, okay, skip from like this part to this part, skip from this part to this part. You know, you're gonna like watch the crucial parts of it, unless you want to watch the whole things. But I'm gonna be giving you the out so that you will not sometimes have to watch an entire like 3-hour pay-per-view. That if you're skipping some parts, it might be like around two.
we could work. We could discuss. You know what I mean? Right. Like, if you tell me it's a 3.5 hour pay-per-view and I'm giving you, you know, 2 hours of Doctor Who, we'll talk. You know what I mean? So,
Todd will come on and talk about what he thought of the professional wrestling he watched, and I'll come on and weep openly about having to watch Doctor Who.
Oh, the classic ones, you're going to have a blast.
Right.
Ooh, boy. But, are we going to come up with a name for what it is? You know how we were doing all those mashup names?
I don't know.
Okay, because I know there was the Gallifreybirds.
Oh, shit, that's right. We did this like 100 years ago when we threw that out.
Right, there was what did I want to say? Degeneration Exterminate was one of my favorites. I know one of our listeners was pushing Barusa Brody, but I'm not doing that. That's a deep cut right there.
With this discussion, I'm sure this will awaken more thoughts of this in other people's minds, and I'll defer to you on whatever you want to call it.
What? No, I want this to be a partnership.
All right. Well, maybe we'll decide before the first episode actually is discussed.
Right, we'll probably, because we'll announce when we're doing it the week before, when we're saying next week will be the where we discuss it, that's when I'll give you your stuff, you give me mine.
Yep.
And then that's the first one we'll announce the name of the show. Does that sound cool?
Sounds like a plan.
Right. Do we have anything else to talk about, or should we do the thingy with the rap stuff?
Yes, the thingy with the rap stuff. Wicca wicca.
I have a question for you.
All right.
Because you've given me two. Should I open a certain one first?
Open the smaller of the two first.
And are we both going to go at the same time, or... Oh, okay.
I'm opening your gift right now.
All right, I'm opening the first one now.
Oh, no way!
Yep, way.
Get out of town!
I hope you enjoy it.
Oh, man. I'm not even going to say what they are until Todd opens up his.
Oh. I got the first one open. You want me to say what it is?
Go ahead.
It is a Doctor Who dot to doc, join the dots across time and space book.
Right. I didn't want to get you a coloring book, an adult coloring book, because I hate, you know, that sort of thing. So I got you the next best thing, a Doctor Who connect the dot book where the title is a terrible pun.
You know what? That's probably the most me thing that's ever going to happen.
Right.
And now I'm going to open up the breakable one.
Right. So as you're opening that, I'll tell everyone what Todd got me. He got me, as we discussed on this show, it's like poetry, so it rhymes. He got me the Nature Boy Ric Flair and Rowdy Roddy Piper Funko Pops.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Sweet!
Somebody found your Amazon wish list.
it was hidden very well.
That's right. Remember, at one time you were a different name, so I didn't know
Well, the different
was.
Name one has, like, leather sectionals on it.
Oh, boy. It's got leather somethings on it.
So, that other gift... Now, I did not wrap either one of Todd's gifts. If it was up to me, much like Todd, his gifts would have been thrown in a gunny sack and hurled at him as I drove by.
And so, are you still mad at me that I don't watch wrestling? Is that because it screwed up your Christmas giving?
No.
I'm opening. Let's see. We have bubble wrap.
I just have to delete the file of the personalized video message of Kevin Owens wishing you a Merry Christmas.
Oh, is that what it was?
No.
Oh, I got the best damn root beer.
No. If you look.
I'm taking them out one by one, so.
Right. So, I have I don't want to say that alcohol is an addiction. But I've recently come to love these hard root beers, right?
Right.
And I've extolled the virtues of them to you, and I've tried several over the last couple months, and I decided to get Todd the sampler pack of the ones that you can get in Pennsylvania, because you can't get things shipped, and the ones that you can get in bottles, because I'm not a beer drinking out of a can guy, because I've tested that as well.
I'm not a can guy either.
Right.
I don't like it in the can. I don't.
Oh, boy.
What?
So I got Todd the sampler pack of, what is it, Coney Island, Not Your Dad's, and Best Damn Root Beer.
Yes, Best Damn Root Beer.
Right. So I got him two bottles of each to try at his leisure, and he can come back as the ultimate arbiter of which is the best.
All right. So we'll, and you've tasted all of these?
I absolutely have.
So you'll know what I'm talking. Yeah, we'll discuss. I'll even take notes.
There you go.
I'm taking notes in 2017. So thank you very much, Joe.
You're welcome, sir.
I hope you like your little funky donkeys.
I do. I love my funky donkeys.
Ugh.
Oh, man. What are the odds that we would have had Roddy Piper stuff and you got me a Roddy Piper thing? That's awesome.
It is. Well, hey, if I knew if it was a wrestling something, I planned all this out. I don't know how I did it, but you planned for giving me intoxicating substances while we talked about Piper, and I gave you Piper. So it all works out.
Exactly. All right. So I think that covers everything for this episode.
Mm-hmm.
So soon-to-be-named-network.com, soon-to-be-named-network.tumblr.com. Check out the shows. Check out everyone. Everyone have Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, and we'll see you all here next week.
Yep. Happy Holidays, Merry Christmas.